Welcome to the Left of Lansing podcast with your host, Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. A, dare we say, entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how we can best make Michigan's political machine work for the people. And now, live from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's Pat Johnston.
Yeah. Hey, is Mike Bloomberg the change that we've all been waiting for?
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg. Democrats are not going to win if we have a nominee who has a history of hiding his tax returns, of harassing women, and of supporting racist policies like redlining and stop and frisk. Look, I'll support whoever the Democratic nominee is. But understand this, Democrats take a huge risk if we just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another.
Ouch. That was Democratic Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren jumping from the top rope to land a devastating elbow on the Republican, and I will say that again, the Republican mayor from New York City. Oh man, was that a beautiful sight to watch during the Democratic presidential debate in Nevada earlier this week. More on Mike Bloomberg's candidacy later on this podcast. Hey, as of this recording, Bernie Sanders has been declared the winner of the Nevada caucus, and now Bernie is taking the delegate lead in the Democratic presidential primary race. Sanders also becomes the first candidate to win the popular vote in the first three primary races ever. Wow. I will have more to say about the primary race the week before Michigan's primary on March the 10th. Welcome to another edition of the Left of Lansing podcast. I'm Pat Johnston. This is a podcast devoted to shining a light on the ever-growing progressive movement that's taking shape here in the state of Michigan. And it's a podcast that's not only devoted to turning Michigan into a solid blue state, but it's devoted to turning Michigan into a deep-rooted progressive state. Not the kind of state that the nutjob right-wing hack statehouse Republican Beau LaFave is advocating for. No. We don't want that kind of state, especially since LaFave's been busy working as the Sarah Palin Donald Trump wannabe. You recall a couple of weeks ago, Beau LaFave from Iron Mountain, Republican, he carried his rifle with him into the state capitol building because that's what regular people do. That's what normal people do, is that they carry their rifle with them into state capitol buildings across the country. They do this apparently to show just how much that they treasure the Second Amendment, because that's what right-wing clowns do. They offer no real policies to help people, no real incentives to help people. They just live to make liberals mad while simultaneously making themselves look like utter douchebags. They've learned from Rush Limbaugh for many, many years, so this is all they have. But here's the funny part, everybody. Days after his latest douchebaggery efforts, LaFave's guns were stolen from his underwear drawer. That's one brave robber to sift through Beau LaFave's drawers just for a gun. Okay, whatever, I guess. Beau LaFave, the adamant defender of the right to carry guns into bars and ballparks, because what could ever go wrong there? Beau LaFave failed to lock his guns away in a safe. You see, Beau LaFave is the poster child as to why we need to keep guns out of the hands of children. You know, come to think of it, I guess Beau LaFave really is like his dear leader, Donald Trump. Whether it's guns or sex with porn stars, both don't like protecting their pieces. Hey, it's great to be back with another episode of this podcast. Like I said on my last podcast, my current job is not really allowing me to post as often as I would like, but I'm still in the public eye, and I'm not going away, my fellow LOLers. Don't worry about that, especially not this year, a pivotal year for both Michigan and the country. Because not only do we need to get the most corrupt regime out of the White House, but we've got to keep building on the gains that Michigan Democrats and progressives made in 2018. Yes, I know, we've got one more election where we have to deal with the DeVos-bought Michigan Republican Party's gerrymandered districts. We all understand that. However, that doesn't mean we still can't make some more gains in 2020. Many candidates who barely lost their races in 2018 are back to fight for another round in 2020. And there are some newer candidates who have decided to get involved in the game here in 2020 to try to turn this state completely around from the decades upon decades of abuse by the DeVos-bought Republican Party. Let's not forget that women made up a huge percentage of Democratic victories statewide in 2018, and that happened thanks to huge support from the women's vote. And so far, it appears that Michigan Democrats will enjoy another boost of support from women voters, as 27% say that they will vote for the Michigan Republicans' dear leader in November. I'll say that again for those of you out in the cheap seats. Just 27% of Michigan's female electorate right now say that they will vote for the Republicans' dear leader in November. Wow. Now, that's according to numbers tabulated by researchers at Baldwin-Wallace University, Ohio Northern University, and Oakland University. Let's recall that Hillary Clinton received 300,000 less votes in 2016 than Barack Obama received in 2012. The chances of that happening again are slim unless, well, more on that later. But for Michigan Democrats, 2020 could be another year of celebration just as long as they don't screw up the messaging. Keep women voters on your side. Don't disappoint them. Fight for them. It shouldn't be that hard because Michigan Republicans have already shown that they have failed to learn the lessons of 2018. I mean, Michigan Republicans illustrated that they don't respect Governor Gretchen Whitmer and others in high office like Attorney General Dana Nessel and other qualified women. I mean, just last week, and I know this story probably did not make all kinds of shockwaves out to regular Michiganders. Yes, it did to we politicos, but I understand that this didn't reach a lot of Michiganders, but I'm going to bring it up here because it illustrates a point, okay? Just last week, Michigan Republicans blocked Governor Whitmer's pick for someone to sit on the state's Natural Resources Commission. That's the commission that regulates hunting and fishing. Now, a reasonable person could say, you know what, the governor who won by 10 percentage points in the election probably should get their pick to fill certain state office positions, personal scandals notwithstanding, of course. Well, enter Anna Mitterling. Ms. Mitterling is a biology and environmental science professor from Lansing Community College. Ms. Mitterling has a master's degree from Michigan State University in fishing and wildlife. Seems like that she's quite qualified to sit on the Natural Resources Commission. As State Senator Curtis Hertel from East Lansing said, she will literally be the first person ever appointed to this commission that is an actual scientist when it comes to these issues. But the extreme DeVos-bought Michigan Republican Senate threw a hissy fit. Yes, you see, they can't stand that Governor Whitmer nominated a smart woman for a governmental post that tends to really drive right-wingers batty, as we have witnessed here for the past, 100 years. But they wanted to make an example out of Ms. Mitterling over the fact that Governor Whitmer nominated former Grand Rapids Mayor George Hartwell to head the NRC. Now, what did Hartwell do to drive the right-wingers batty here in Michigan? Well, Mr. Hartwell had the audacity to back some gun control provisions when he was the former mayor of Grand Rapids. And that's something, that is just something that the Russian-funded National Rifle Association hates. And when the gun manufacturer industry speaks, Michigan Republicans will follow. So, right-wing Republicans warned Governor Whitmer to pull Hartwell's nomination, or else they would block Ms. Mitterling from the Natural Resources Commission, and block her they did. Republican State Senate Majority Leader Mike Batshit Crazy Shirky mansplained that while Mitterling had the right amount of education, she just didn't really have the ability to understand the immensity of that commission and the very important need to provide guidance to the departments related to the NRC. You see, according to Mike Shirky, the little woman just didn't really understand the immensity of the position. By the way, this is the first time a governor's appointee has been blocked by the state Senate since 2010 when Jennifer Granholm was governor. I wonder what's similar in both circumstances. I just can't quite put my finger on it at this moment. I'll have to think about that some more. Oh, and here is the funny part. The head of the Senate's Advise and Consent Committee, State Senator Peter Lucido. Yes, That Peter Lucido, who told Michigan Advance reporter Allison Donahue that some schoolboys could really have a lot of fun with her. He said that on the Senate chamber floor, by the way. Cool guy. Yes, that same Peter Lucido, who's accused by Democratic State Senator Mallory McMorrow of sexually harassing her. Why in the world are Michigan Republicans having trouble convincing women to vote for them? I have no clue. And let's not forget how Michigan's right wing is trying to pass an initiative to ban the seldom used abortion procedure, but a procedure that protects the mother due to complications. Science backs the procedure, the right wing doesn't. And if the petition collects enough signatures, the right wing Republican Party in the legislature can pass it without Governor Whitmer ever getting a chance to veto it or Michiganders getting a chance to vote on it. And on top of that, let's not forget how Michigan's extreme right-wing Republican Party is supportive of their dear leader's fight to extinguish Obamacare, which would end pre-existing condition protections, easier access to birth control, and allowing kids to remain on their parents' health care until 26 years old. These are pocketbook issues, and these are issues that Michigan Democrats should hit out of the ballpark each and every day. But they've got to do more than just talk about it. They've got to fight for it. I'll talk more about healthcare in just a moment. Thanks for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.
A podcast devoted to helping fix the damn roads because Pat's tired of dodging potholes. It's the Left of Lansing podcast. Upset with Pat? Want to give him a piece of your mind? Or do you actually want to praise Pat for everything that he does? Just email him leftoflansing@gmail.com. Now back to Pat Johnston.
Again, you can find me on the Twitter machine a lot, perhaps too much, as Dr. Heather would tell you, but you can find me there. That's at Left of Lansing. That's simple, and I do lots of commentary and share lots of different stories and comments on there as well. So just find me, Left of Lansing, on Twitter. Since we are in the middle of the presidential primary season, I'd like to say just a quick word about the primary season for other Democratic races. I'm talking about primary races for House seats, for state House and state Senate seats, and more. There are some disparaging remarks that I've been reading from many liberals and Democrats this past week when New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez announced her support for a handful of progressive women who are running against Democratic Senate and House incumbents. Some comments range from pure anger to pure anguish, and some real hateful things were said towards AOC. I mean, critics pounded on AOC for trying to sow division within the Democratic Party. Some cried that 2020 just is not the time for Democrats to primary other Democrats. They accused the progressive group called Justice Democrats of trying to ruin the Democratic Party. In my opinion, these are sophomoric takes, but they are also highly undemocratic takes. You see, we have these safeguards in place called primaries to ensure that officeholders remain accountable to their citizens. And these primaries are also a way to ensure that people from the outside still have a voice in political parties. If they believe that an officeholder in question is not representing the values of both the party and their constituents that they represent, then someone from the outside can declare a challenge to that said office holder. That's called the democratic process. I mean, why should a strong Democratic voter living in a strong Democratic blue district be forced to sit back and wait for that office holder to either retire or die before they get a chance to run for that office? Does not make sense at all. We're not living in English nobility, everybody. We live in America. And what's the big deal? If the voters in that state or that specific district are pleased with the job that the public official is doing, then that official will win the primary race. No big deal. But one should not have to sit and wait their turn. AOC didn't sit back and wait her turn. Her former Congressman Joe Crowley became too entrenched and aloof to his constituents' needs, and AOC challenged him, and she beat him. And with her victory, AOC brought a strong, FDR-like progressive agenda and a message that resonates with millions, especially with millennials and Generation Z. Those are the two generations. And I guess you could throw Generation X in there a little bit too. But those are the generations that feel like they are starting behind the eight ball once they get out of school, unlike the baby boom generation and the silent generation. They feel like that they are screwed before they even get started. I mean, do we really think that Joe Crowley, Congressman Joe Crowley, would have galvanized such a groundswell of support or created such a grassroots movement on economic and environmental justice like AOC has done? I mean, isn't it safe to say that AOC's stunning victory turned out to benefit the Democratic Party in the long run? I mean, she's young, intelligent, Hispanic. She's a woman who helps solidify millions of voters just like her to identify with the Democratic Party. Primaries are democratic, y'all. It's holding office holders accountable to their constituents, which is why I cannot for the life of me understand why in the world some Democrats are mad at AOC for backing a progressive over a Kochback candidate in a Texas House seat. Congressman Henry Cuellar receives Russian-backed NRA cash, is anti-choice, and backs Trump 70% of the time. Is Henry Cuellar representing his deep blue district, maybe? Maybe not. But Jessica Cisneros does not believe so. So she's decided at the age of 26 to use her experience as an immigration and human rights attorney to challenge Cuellar. But the odds are stacked against her, especially since House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, for some reason, decided to announce her support for Cuellar, despite Cuellar receiving some financial backing from Americans for Prosperity, a Koch-funded operation. And we wonder why there is so much anger with the electorate today. This is why primaries exist. Now, that goes for the state legislature seats, too. Last year, I talked with State Representative Lori Pohutsky from Michigan's 19th House District. Representative Pohutsky decided to join in the primary race, even though the Democratic Party elders here in Michigan were more supportive of her opponent. And while she wasn't battling an incumbent, Pohutsky still had to battle the party machine. And through hard work and a great message, she won. And then she went on to turn that seat from red to blue. Here's Lori telling me last year about the challenge of battling and eventually winning against a party favorite.
My opponent in the primary has been on school board there, so, you know, and already had existing connections within the Democratic Party in Lansing. So I knew it was going to be a tough fight, and I knew that that's who I was going to be running against. So I started knocking doors May of 2017 just to make sure that I could try and get a jump on the game a little bit and, you know, get some name recognition. And one thing that I did, and I don't fault anybody for their strategy necessarily, particularly because it had been a red seat for so long, but I didn't necessarily think that it was the best idea to play it safe and to, you know, stick in the middle. Mm. We had some really honest conversations on doors. We had some really bold policy ideas and actual solutions for the issues that people were telling us, you know, they were facing in our district. So I think that that helped because it didn't come across as, you know, lip service or just a politician playing politics. So I think that that was really helpful, particularly because we were up against somebody who had, you know, an established base in the city.
Lori Pohutsky won by running on a strong progressive platform, which included a state-funded Medicare for All program with a graduated income tax plan. She won. Again, she turned her seat from red to blue. She, along with a handful of other outsiders, won their state races by pushing popular progressive policies. How's that for alliteration? Which brings me now to my next point. And it would be an absolute crime, if Michigan Democrats refused or simply forgot to run on how they are fighting to expand medical coverage, rather than Republicans who are fighting to take away medical care coverage. Regardless if Senator Bernie Sanders ends up being the Democratic nominee for president or someone else in the Democratic primary, as Governor Whitmer said in her State of the Union response, Democrats as a whole are pushing to expand coverage while Republicans are doing the opposite.
Every Democrat running for president has a plan to expand health care for all Americans. Every one of them has supported the Affordable Care Act with coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. They may have different plans, But the goal is the same. President Trump, sadly, has a different plan. He's asking the courts to rip those life-saving protections away. It's pretty simple. Democrats are trying to make your health care better. Republicans in Washington are trying to take it away.
That's the bumper sticker right there. That's bumper sticker politics right there, especially here in Michigan. Remember that Republicans did not want the Medicaid expansion from Obamacare called Healthy Michigan. And one of the rare times former Republican Governor Rick Snyder did something right, he, along with Democrats, including then State Senator Gretchen Whitmer, passed the Healthy Michigan bill, which helped ensure over 670,000 low-income Michiganders. That's, of course, part of the Obamacare Medicaid expansion. I mean, it made sense to use the Medicaid expansion of Obamacare since it meant a healthier Michigan, which increased Michigan's workforce population. The healthier you are, the more likely you are to work. And according to a recent University of Michigan study, nearly 1 in 3 low-income people who enrolled in Michigan's Expand Medicaid program discovered that they had a chronic illness that had never been diagnosed before. 1 in 3! You see, preventative care also helps save money as well. And the study also said that the researchers found that more than a third of those with diabetes or serious chronic lung disease said it had been diagnosed since they enrolled in the program. So had 1/3 of those who said that they had high blood pressure or heart disease, and nearly 1/3 of those with depression, anxiety, or bipolar disorder. 2/3 of those who said that their condition was newly diagnosed had been uninsured in the year before they enrolled. That's pretty significant. Now, remember when I just gave Rick Snyder some credit for helping pass the Healthy Michigan program? Here is where I will take some of that credit away. Because if you recall, Snyder, before he left office, along with Michigan's right-wing Republican state legislature, passed work requirements in order for Michiganders to receive the Healthy Michigan benefit. These elitist Republicans always are trying to teach the value of hard work at all times, even though the state legislature takes so much time off. They couldn't even meet at all last summer to help fix the roads, but they are the ones who are going to lecture to everyday hardworking Michiganders about the value of work. My God, these elitist Republicans. I mean, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services says as many as 100,000 people could lose their insurance under the new work requirements. The Senate Fiscal Agency estimates that subsequent enrollment decline could save the state from around $5 to $20 million a year. So they're doing this to try to save $5 to $20 million a year. But why? It doesn't make any sense because it'll cost the state some $33 million per year to pay for this work requirement program, including an additional 54 governmental positions. And hey, who says government doesn't create jobs? This is a program that has proven to work. It works for Michigan people. It works for the citizens. It works for low-income and poor Michiganders. It benefits businesses because healthier people equals a healthier workforce. But leave it to Republicans for wanting to make it harder for people to remain healthy. I mean, there's nothing like having to do extra paperwork to receive insurance, right? I mean, people love that. And please let me remind everyone, this was only made possible when Trump allowed states to implement work requirements if they wished. So, to every Michigan Democrat running for the state legislature or congressional seats or a Senate seat, Gary Peters, keep pounding the message home of how Republicans are bent on taking away health care coverage while Democrats are fighting to keep it or even expand it. And hopefully soon, maybe we'll get to the point where we can provide a Medicare for All program with even more expanded coverage. Put Republicans on the defensive and have them explain why they want to take health care coverage away from people. Make them explain their position. Make them get on the defensive. You see, they don't want to do that. Right-wingers are hoping that all they have to do is shout, socialism! And they hope that will work. It's been their playbook for a century. You know, as FDR passed Social Security, LBJ passed Medicare and Medicaid, and Obama passed Obamacare. Republicans have been on the losing side on health care for decades. Make them own their weak position. And to those Democrats who stand up for the people, I promise you, more often than not, you'll be rewarded at the ballot box this November.
Thanks for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. Don't forget, you can contact Pat by emailing leftoflansing@gmail.com and visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information.
Let me just say again, thanks again for checking out this podcast. Please subscribe to it if you'd like, and please visit leftoflansing.com for additional commentary from yours truly. And if you'd like to get a hold of me, it's real easy, leftoflansing@gmail.com, or follow me on Twitter. That's @leftoflansing. It's that simple. I'm on Twitter a lot, so that's a good way to also get a hold of me there. Time for the Left of Lansing last call. One of the highlights for me on election night 2018 was Haley Stevens' victory that flipped a U.S. House seat from red to blue. It was especially sweet since Stevens, who worked for President Obama's Auto Rescue Task Force, defeated Lena Epstein, who chaired Trump's Michigan campaign. I mean, it was nice to have an Obama official defeat a Trump official, and even more sweet since Trump won that district by 4 percentage points. So that was well done. And not only that, Haley Stevens added another woman to Michigan's congressional delegation. Awesome. And she represented a generational shift, becoming the first millennial of Michigan's delegation. And while I may disagree with Haley Stevens on a couple of things, for the most part, I remain ecstatic that she is in Congress. She's intelligent. She promotes education, especially in science and technology, which is something we definitely need to push for the future. She's not bought by the NRA. She wants a $15 minimum wage. And while not advocating for a single-payer or universal healthcare platform, Haley Stevens still wants to find ways to help expand healthcare coverage. I think we can bring her aboard later on when it comes to universal coverage, but you know what? Finding ways to expand healthcare coverage, that's also good. I'm glad that she's in Congress, and I hope that her constituents enthusiastically send her back to Congress in November. However, that being said, I keep it real on this podcast. When I disagree with someone on my side and think they are wrong, I'm going to say it. And I've said it before, I'm not a rah-rah guy for my political side, all right? I'm not one of those guys who say, hey, it's okay if my team does it. I have principles. That's right, I've got principles that I must follow. Which is why I'm hoping Congresswoman Stevens will soon reconsider her endorsement of Mike Bloomberg for president. To say that I'm anti-Mike Bloomberg would be quite the understatement. Look, I cannot back a guy who once celebrated George W. Bush and his failed Iraq War. A war, by the way, that's cost the United States so far some $2 trillion, amounting to $8,000 per taxpayer. Whew, that also represents about 9% of the national debt. I mean, where in the world was the media back in those days, you know, wringing their hands, demanding, how in the world were we going to have a war in Iraq if we can't pay for it? I mean, certainly I could check out some YouTube videos, right? And the press would be all over Don Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and President Bush demanding to learn exactly how we were going to pay for this war, right? I mean, we didn't raise taxes to pay for that war or the Afghanistan war. We simply just borrowed the money. I mean, the press, I've got to believe the press hounded the Bush administration and its congressional war allies on that point, right? Wrong. Why? Because, as George Carlin once said, war brings in good ratings. But I digress. I cannot back a guy who himself backed former Michigan Republican Governor Rick Snyder's campaign. Are you kidding me? Unfortunately, no. Bloomberg contributed to Rick Snyder's campaign. You see, Bloomberg thought of Rick Snyder as some independent-minded politician, that Rick Snyder really wasn't your Republican Party member of today or the past decade or the past 40 years. No, he thought Rick Snyder was something like a Milliken, I believe. I don't know what he was thinking, because Bloomberg backed the guy who signed the dreaded Right to Work for Less bill. Bloomberg gave money to the guy who lifted the cap on Michigan's charter schools, which proved to be a $1 billion boondoggle with little to no oversight, no state standards, and many of those for-profit schools performing poorly. Again, with hardly any oversight, $1 billion in Michigan taxpayer money. A boondoggle. Oh, and then there was that Flint water crisis thing. Oh, and then as friend of the podcast from Michigan Advance, Susan Demas noted recently, Snyder also gutted Michigan's minimum wage law, made it more difficult for citizen-driven initiatives to succeed, once again proving how little Michigan Republicans care about what the people think. And, like Donald Trump, Snyder took a sledgehammer to Michigan's environmental protections because who really likes clean water anyway? I mean, I hear PFAS are so awesome, they stay in our water forever. They are called forever chemicals. Chemicals that stay in the environment forever? If that's not making America great again, I don't know what is. And let's not forget that Rick Snyder took money away from average Michiganders and transferred that money back to his rich donor base. You know, on that point, I can see why Mike Bloomberg backed him. Now, to be fair, Bloomberg did give money to Gary Peters in his Senate run, citing the Democrats' moderate views. But that just goes to my overall point. If Mike Bloomberg truly, truly wanted to help Democrats in a more holistic way, why not simply give millions to Democratic candidates who are running for Senate seats and House seats across the country? Why not help state Democratic parties in their quest to take over state legislatures, which you and I both know is just as important as winning the presidency? Mike Bloomberg doesn't need to be in the White House. He can do plenty of good on the outside, like continuing to help moms demand action for gun control or releasing those highly effective anti-Trump ads. And I will admit, those ads are pretty good. But that still does not come close to erasing everything else that Mike Bloomberg did during his time as New York City's mayor. Not even close. Someone asked me last week on Twitter if I'd vote for Bloomberg over Trump if that's what it came down to in November. And I responded that while I do have my principles, I'm also a practical voter at times. As JFK once said, I'm an idealist without illusion. So I will vote for half the loaf if I can't get the full loaf of bread, which is why I backed Obamacare, despite its many flaws. But I still hold a deep hope that Democrats and progressives alike nationwide will remember what they're about. Mike Bloomberg blamed the housing and financial crisis on poor people. He blamed it on poor people of color and not the Wall Street banksters that tried to make a quick buck. Mike Bloomberg dissed Obamacare back in 2010 because it was the politically expedient thing to do. Mike Bloomberg backed and he staunchly supported the racist stop and frisk policies that terrorized people of color in New York City. Mike Bloomberg tried to buy voters. Mike Bloomberg is still trying to buy votes. Mike Bloomberg is running for president to protect his friends in the rich donor class because they fear that an Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders administration might ask them to pay a little bit more in taxes. And Mike Bloomberg funded Republican races as late as 2018. Really? Some of you out there are backing this guy? You're backing this guy who's guilty of doing all of these harmful things? That's not what we're about. Look, I understand that Mike Bloomberg's super PAC gave Haley Stevens over $2 million during her 2018 campaign. And again, I'd much rather have him do something like that than run for the presidency. And I'm hoping that's not one of the reasons why Stevens chose to back Bloomberg, especially as we are being reminded daily of his past. Now, look, I know that the centrist, corporate-driven media would love a Mike Bloomberg-Donald Trump showdown. New York City versus New York City. Billionaire versus billionaire. Scandal versus scandal. Oh, man, would the media eat it up? Of course it would, because corporations own the media, and corporations want ratings, and corporations want as little regulations and taxes as possible. That's why corporations don't want Bernie or Liz. And that's why corporations want Bloomberg versus Trump. The cocktail-drinking Washington, D.C. circuit is hoping that you'll agree, but I'm hopeful that Democrats and progressives won't let that happen because they'll say, that's not what we're about.
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you are hearing is by Wander Beats. To hear the latest project, check out Space Leopard on your favorite streaming site. Now back to my favorite progressive voice, Pat Johnston.
We're in serious times, everyone. The Republican Party is Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is the Republican Party. The Republican Party is for authoritarianism. The Republican Party is for tax cuts for the donor base. The Republican Party is all for redistribution of wealth up to the top while forgetting about everyone else. And they are completely and without a doubt for Donald Trump. But not only do we Michigan progressives have to defeat Trump and make sure that he cannot count on Michigan's electoral votes this time around, we've got to stop Trump Republicanism right here in Michigan. However, saying that you're just not Donald Trump won't be enough. Michigan Democrats must run on being for the people. Michigan must run on making this state a more equitable state, be it economically, environmentally, or socially. Democrats and progressives must show that the blue wave is just getting started in the Great Lakes state, and it's showing no signs of slowing down. That'll do it for this edition of the Left of Lansing podcast. Thanks again for listening. Remember to always take the battle to them. Always. Thank you, Michigan.
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston. Written by Pat Johnston. Researched by Pat Johnston. Just kidding. This thing isn't researched. And broadcasted by Pat Johnston. Technical assistance provided by the wonderful Dr. Heather. And don't forget to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information and Pat's musical taste, if you can handle it. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.